Thank the Lord for being here with you all this morning. Seems like it's been a while since we've been out here. Appreciate your prayers this morning. I want to apologize in advance. I got somewhat of a cough. I don't believe it's the sickness or anything. I just been doing some work around some mold, and apparently I'm allergic to that stuff. But I have some thoughts on my heart today, and I've had them for a little while now, and I was thinking about how valuable it is to have God's voice in our lives. Not just the ability to converse with Him or to go before Him in prayer, but to also have the opportunity to have Him speak to us and to have Him present responses to those prayers or to those concerns or whatever it is that we bring before Him. I was sitting in the pew during prayer, and the thought occurred to me about Esther going before the king, and how it was a nervous time for her because she wasn't sure if she was going to be received because she hadn't been bidden to come. And so there was a concern as to whether or not the king was going to allow her to come and to present a request or present her communication to him. And I'm so thankful that we can go before God and not have to fret or be concerned about His willingness to hear from us. And not just that, but to be willing, like I said, to give a response to those requests that we have. In 1 Samuel, chapter 3, I want to say, too, that sometimes it seems like the Lord tells me things over and over and over again, and I'm thankful for that, because sometimes I need Him to remind me of things. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. I think about that phrase, that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. So what kind of thoughts come to mind when you think of God's word being precious in those days? You might think, well, maybe they were precious because they were rare. It wasn't a common thing. It says there was no open vision. Maybe it was a obscure time where it wasn't real easy or real readily available to hear God's word, and so that it was precious because of that. You might even say that it was precious because the people of that time considered it valuable. I don't know. Maybe they considered the word of God a very valuable thing. And they had great respect for God's word. And so I think to myself and wonder to myself if we would say that today God's word is precious. Because I would think that in our day and time, at least, God's word seems to be very prevalent. I mean, there's Bibles all over the place. We've got God's Word in a book that we can read and that we can meditate upon and we can reread and listen to every day. We can get it on our phone and have it read to us. God's Word. All over the place. You've got people who listen to God's Word read, or they hear it spoken from somebody, or they read it on a billboard somewhere, or it's in a piece of paper someplace. God's word is prevalent. But is it precious? Do people consider it valuable? We go on a little further in this chapter. I mean, obviously many of us are aware of this particular scripture where God speaks to Samuel. And Samuel was not aware of the voice of the Lord, and so it took a few times for him to realize that God was really speaking to him. And in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" God's word was precious in those days. And I'm thankful that Samuel had ears to hear it. And he was able to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." I'm reminded of a scenario not far from this, where the people of Israel were asking Samuel for a king. They wanted a king like everybody else had. And it displeased Samuel that they would ask that, because God was already their king. God was already their Lord. He was leading them as a people, and they were requiring a manly authority, a king like other nations. And so the Lord decided to grant them their request. And we have the instance of Saul. And Saul, I think it was some goats or some donkeys or something got lost, and he went about to go find him, and they couldn't find him anywhere. And so they got a good idea that they were going to go inquire of the man of God where their animals were. And so they went to Samuel. Isn't it a blessing to be able to have a place where you can go and inquire of God and expect to receive a response? And so they did. They went to Samuel. And sure enough, Samuel said, "Oh, don't worry about the animals. Those are taken care of. By the way, come with me." And he presents Saul with a feast and ends up giving him a word from the Lord other than what Saul had expected to receive. I believe he even told him that he was going to be king of Israel. And so through process of time, that happened. Saul became king of Israel. And I imagine that over the space of his time as being king, that there were other opportunities for God to speak to Saul and to tell him things and to show him direction or give him guidance on many different decisions that had to be made. And I could imagine that Saul would maybe get accustomed to having God give him instruction and guidance in his authority over the kingship and overseeing the nation. I can imagine him being accustomed to that. But there came a time or an instance in his life where God gave him instruction and told him to do something very specific. And he went about to go do it, but failed to do it as God had instructed, or according to the word of the Lord. And we are all very familiar with that instance where Saul refused to destroy all of the Amalekites. And he kept the king, preserved the king, and his response was that the people said, or the people did, and it came to the awareness that Saul had a rebellious heart before God and essentially refused to do what God had said. And it said that after that instance that the Lord departed from Saul. And it brings us to our next scripture, 1 Samuel 28. starting in verse 5, I believe. So this is later on in Saul's kingship, if you will. And obviously there's a lot that has transpired prior to this point. Some very significant things has happened getting up to this point. And so Saul finds himself about to be attacked by the Philistines. Verse 4 says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled." Saul found himself in a situation where he had a great need. His enemies were up against him. He's feeling his inadequacy to face his enemies. And I can imagine that many times in his kingship early on, that there were situations like this where he wasn't really sure what to do, wasn't really sure what the outcome would be or how to go about this process. And he was able to go to Samuel and say, "Samuel, pray to the Lord God for me. Give me a word from God to tell me how to deal with this situation. Show me what I ought to do or the decisions that I ought to make in this time." But he didn't have that now. He's at a point in his life where he's rejected God's word. And the Lord has rejected him as king. And now he's in a situation where he has a great need. He needs to hear from God. And in verse 6 he says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord, asking God, 'Please tell me what I have to do,' the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets." I think about that situation and how you're in such a great need for an answer. You need to know something. I need to know what my next step is. This is very important. This is critical time in my life. I've got to hear. And yet God was silent. Why was God silent? Because Saul had already proven to reject God's word and refused to repent when that reality was revealed to him and what he had done. And I think too of what he did after that fact and how he killed all of the Lord's prophets, or priests, I should say. When David inquired of the priests for instruction and guidance in his way, Saul found out about it and went and had them all killed. And only one was able to escape, to David. So Saul had proven himself to not really want God's word, or to not really want the voice of the Lord, until he found himself in this dire situation. In verse 7, "Then said Saul unto his servants, 'Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servant says to him, 'Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.'" I was thinking about this and just contemplating this whole scenario in my mind, and we have the instance where God's word is precious and valuable and important for us in our lives. And then we have a situation too where a person gets to the point where they don't really care about God's word. They want to do what they want to do, and that's it. They don't really care. But I was thinking about it, how oftentimes people might inquire of God about a thing and ask the Lord, "What should I do in this situation or in this circumstance? What would you have me do?" Or, "Speak to me, Lord. I need an answer. I'm in a desperate situation." And yet they don't hear anything right away. What do they do? What do you do when you don't hear from God right away? on a situation or a circumstance where you need an answer. Do you wait on God? Or do you go and seek a familiar spirit? Or do you go seek someone that'll hear your request and maybe seek advice from someone else along the way? Maybe a friend or somebody that doesn't know the Lord or have experience with following God. Will you seek your own intellect, your own wisdom, your own designs to try to conjure up an answer for yourself? How precious and how valuable is God's Word at that point? Is God's Word just another option? Is God's Word just something to choose from? Well, you know, like in Saul's case, God's Word apparently seemed like just an option. Because Saul thought he came up with a little better option. Right? I thought it would be good for us to keep the best of this stuff and offer it to God. That's an option. But it was not God's option. It wasn't what the Lord had told him to do. It wasn't God's Word. And I ask myself sometimes, are people seeing God's Word as just an option? Or is it the only option? Yes. Is our desperation to a point where we have to hear from God? Nothing else will suffice. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. One of the things that I appreciate about David, and I think is a very good example to us, is how David responded. One, in how he responded to God's Word. But in two, in how he depended on it. In the way he conducted his life. So in Samuel chapter 22 verse 5 it says, "And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Herith." So here we have just a small example of God's Word coming to David and saying, "David, don't stay here. I want you to go somewhere. I want you to go somewhere else. Get thee to the land of Judah." And so immediately, what does David do? Does he communicate with God and say, "Well, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, maybe we ought to go somewhere else. Maybe I should go to the Philistine camp," or no, he just did what God said to do. Right? And so I think part of our response to getting God's voice or hearing His Word or hearing His direction in our life and getting answers to these decisions that we have to make is to have a heart that's ready to do what God says. So think about it like this. If somebody keeps coming to you and asking for advice on a situation, and you give them the advice, but they don't take it. Right? And then they come back to you another time and ask for your advice. And you give it to them, and they don't take it. And they come again. When they start getting a reputation for not taking your advice, you get a little tired of giving them the advice, right? Why are you asking me? You're going to do whatever you want to do anyways. And so I think that part of us being able to hear God's Word and get direction in our life is having a heart that's willing to obey or to follow through with what He gives us. And so David's apparently had that type of heart. That when he went before the Lord and the Lord gave him a direction or gave him instruction on how to be successful, he did it. He walked in it and the Lord blessed him. In 1 Samuel 22 and 9, "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord of him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. And so here again is a situation where David was running from Saul. And I imagine this was a very big deal. What he was about to do, he was trying to find out within himself if there was something wrong in him. That the king was seeking to kill him and to destroy him. And so he even sought Jonathan and said, if there be anything wrong in me, if I've done anything incorrectly or unjustly, please don't even deliver me to Saul, but fall upon me yourself. And I can see David going to Ahimelech and asking him, look, inquire of God, make sure that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm in the right path, and that I'm not going outside my bounds. Inquire of God for me. God's word is precious to me. I need to know what he has to say about this. I want to make sure that I'm in the will of God. And so Ahimelech gave him the word of the Lord and gave him some instruction and direction. And as if we were to continue reading, we would find out that Saul killed him for it, because he had inquired of God for David, the king's enemy. In 1 Samuel 23, starting in verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord. I love that. David has a situation, a circumstance. Oh, wow. They're coming against the city of Keilah. That's wrong. They should not be doing that. And many of us could get in our own minds and think, well, we got to go do something about that. But I love the fact that it always says that David inquired of God. Lord, what should I do? I'm seeing that this situation is wrong and that they ought not to be doing this, and these people need some help. This is what I'm seeing, but what do you say, Lord? What do you want me to do? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. You know, part of me is inspired by that too, and I'm sure that David was inspired as well. Because think about it like this. When you're coming before God and you're presenting your request or your desire for instruction, your desire for direction, you're saying, Lord, speak to me. Tell me, show me my path. And when God answers that, and he says, this is your path, or so in David's case, he says, go and fight them. To me, that is like God putting his blessing on it. That's essentially saying that now you're going, but you're in the will of God doing that. And so it almost like guarantees success. Right? When you're walking in the will of God, that's guaranteeing success. And so when God says, yes, go, I want you to go and save them, then that's got to give you strength and power in your faith that God is going to go with us. And we're going to be successful in this. And so there's times in my life when I seek God, I'm like, Lord, I need to know. I need you to help me to see it and know it and be aware that you're behind it. And the reason why I need that so bad, and it's so precious to me that God gave me his voice on a matter, is because I know if he tells me it, that it's going to be successful. However he goes about to do it, you know, his plans are not my plans. His ways are not my ways. He does things crazy ways sometimes in my mind. They're not crazy to him, but sometimes they're crazy to me. But God does things in a way, and I know that if he's directed it and he's told me to be in this direction or in this path or in this instruction, and if I just walk in that, I have a confidence level that just goes way up because I'm in the will of God. When you're pressed up against major obstacles in your life, there's no stronger point to be at in that time than to know you're in the will of God. Because it's no matter what else happens, no matter how the circumstances end up, no matter what the results might be on a carnal level, if I know that I'm in the will of God, I know I'm in a right place, a safe place. And so I imagine that when God told David, yes, go, that he got some strength from that, some encouragement from that. Yes, let's go. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So here's man's wisdom coming in, right? Saying, are you sure this is something that you want to do, David? I mean, it's bad enough that we're in Judah, which Gad told him, go to Judah. Which, I'm taking from their advice here, was not really a wise thing to do, carnally speaking. But when you're in the will of God, it's the best thing you can do. And so they went to Judah, and now he's saying, I don't know if we should go to Keilah. I mean, it's not wise. So David, hearing this objection, decides, well, let's inquire of the Lord again. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So not just go fight them and save them, but I'm going to give you victory. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Wonderful victory. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. So now Saul's gotten word that David is in Keilah. And David's men said, look, this is not wise for this very reason. You're shut in now. You're in a city that Saul can surround and he can come get you. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. We're about to inquire of God again. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? When Saul come down, as thy servant hath heard, O Lord of God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. How valuable is God's word? How precious is it? You think that God's word didn't just save David right there? David's thinking, look, I just brought a great victory to this town. Surely they're not going to give me up to Saul. But the Lord says, oh, they will. They're going to give you up. God's word saved him because he was willing to inquire of God. And not just one time, but he inquired further. Is Saul coming? Yes, Saul's coming. Are they going to deliver me up? Yes, they're going to deliver you up. I thank the Lord that David continued to inquire of God for that next step or that next decision that needed to be made. 2 Samuel 2 and 1. This was after Saul's death. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So this is a situation where now Saul is dead, and Israel is in need of a king, and David could think to himself that, you know, I'm the obvious choice. Here I am. I'm just going to ride on in and save the day. But David had a heart to seek after God and God's wisdom and God's voice. And he asked the Lord, "Should I go?" And the Lord said, "Yes." And he said, "Now where should I go?" And the Lord gave him another answer. It's encouraging to me to know that I can call upon God just like David is. You can call upon God just like David is and get the answers that you need for your life. And I'm not just talking about, you know, we're saying, yes, it's valuable to know that when we pray to the Lord, He hears us. And it's valuable to know that He answers us or He speaks back to us, and we have His Word to read. But I'm talking about hearing from God on specific things. I mean, these are very specific things that David is asking God of that needs a specific answer. Not vague answers, but a direct answer. Do you know that we can still hear from God like that? That the Lord can give us direction in our lives? But it comes through us being willing to say yes, Lord, when He says it. To be willing to follow through with the directions that He gives when He speaks. A scripture comes to mind every time that I think about God's Word in our day and time. And in Amos chapter 8, there's a scripture to me that kind of comes out similar to the situation with Saul inquiring of God and not hearing a response. I would think that would be a very disconcerting situation, especially when you're in a dire need for the voice of God. Because like I said, when you hear God's voice on a matter, and God says this and this and thus, then you know that there's success in that, if you follow through with His instruction. And so to not get any response would be to say that you're on shaky ground, that nothing is solidified, your way is still kind of a wandering path, you're not really sure yet whether you're in the will of God or not. Amos chapter 8, starting in verse 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." I was talking earlier about the prevalence of God's Word. I mean, you can go anywhere and get something of the Scriptures. It's as close as your phone. If you want to hear God's Word, you can have it read to you. Many people go and sit before others to speak God's Word to them. But do they really consider it to be valuable? Do they really have a heart to hear the truth about God's Word? Or is it just an option? And I fear that, like Saul, who rejected the Word of the Lord and chose not to follow the Word of God, got to a point in his life where God no longer spoke to him and no longer gave him direction or assurance in his path. And so many today are rejecting the Word of God and its truth, rejecting the will of God, being unwilling to follow through with the instructions that God gives. It reminds me of a scripture in 1 Kings 22, where some kings got gathered together to face a common enemy. And the king of Israel and the king of Judah, they were getting together and they were going to face a common enemy that they had. And in verse 5 it says, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." So Jehoshaphat saying, okay, well, we're thinking about going against this enemy, so let's inquire of God and see what God says about it. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." 400 prophets tell him, "Go on up." Whose prophets are these? We're going to find out. Verse 7, "And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord?" What? Let's inquire of the Lord, but let's not bring any of the prophets of the Lord to inquire of them. Because even Jehoshaphat said it himself. "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." Why does he hate him? "For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." So here we have a prophet that was delivering the word of God to the king. But the king didn't like it because it wasn't something that was speaking good to him, or speaking well of him, or going along with his train of thought or his ideas about what to do. And so he was rejecting it over and over and over again. To him, it wasn't really about God's word. It wasn't really, he didn't value the word of God and consider it to be precious. He valued his own opinion about things and he wanted other people to agree with him. And so he had 400 prophets who were willing to do that. They knew what the king wanted to do, and so they would just talk and speak according to the will of the king. And it went well for him. He enjoyed that. "Tell me what I want to hear. Not tell me what God says." Sometimes the Lord's word can go against our own feelings and our own desires, our own plans. Sometimes God's word can be difficult to follow through with. But what do we value? What is precious to us? This king proved that God's word was not really precious to him. Is God's word just another option? And if it's maybe distasteful to us, or maybe we don't get an answer in the time frame that we think it ought to come, and so we decide it's just an option. What other options do I have? What do you think? And we start asking some other people. Or maybe we get on Google and think, what does Google think about this? And we start coming up with other alternative methods to solve our problem rather than God's Word being our option. I really think that in our day and age, God has become an option. An option among many. And people decide to choose it or not. And I want to say that God is the only option. We need to make Him our only option. And we need to seek His face until we hear His voice. We need to check our heart and make sure that we're willing to be obedient when He presents us His will and His desire and His plan. And I'm going to repeat it, that when you follow God's plan for your life and you walk in His will and in the voice that He presents to you in His Word, you will find success. You will be blessed in that. No matter whether you can see it on the onset, no matter if it seems strange what God is asking you to do, or doesn't make a lot of sense to you physically. I'm sure that David's men thought it's not making sense that we go into this city and get trapped there where Saul can come and surround us and destroy us. It doesn't make any sense. And yet David says, yes, but God says. And that's really all you need. God says. And because of that, because God has said it, and because God has said He's going to give us victory, I believe God and I'm going to follow through with what He said. And I know that I'm going to have success in that. And that's really the whole matter of it, is to follow God. And that is where our success lies. If we value His Word and value His direction in our lives and see it as the precious thing that it is. It is precious to have God give us instruction on how to live our lives. It's not a burden. It's not an encumbrance upon us. It's not a heavy weight that He's putting on us. To be in the will of God, it is a blessing. To be in the will of God, to have God instruct us and give us direction in our lives about the details of our life. Because in doing that, we receive His will and His willingness to bless us in whatever it is that He sets before us. I think of a scripture where Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and there was a great gathering of them. And He said something that was very difficult for them to receive. I believe He said, if you drink My blood and eat My flesh, you know. And it says that many of the disciples heard that and they were like, what? This is a hard saying. And it says that many of them departed. And Jesus said to the 12 in verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, I ask the question, if you're not really hearing from God, or you haven't got a direct response from Him of what to do in a particular situation or particular circumstance, and you needed an answer, you know you need an answer, and you haven't yet heard from Him, what do you do? Is God's Word valuable enough that you wait on it? Or do you go about to find someone else to give you an answer? Someone else to tell you what they think you ought to do, Or do you go about within your own mind and your own wisdom to kind of conjure up some idea about what to do or how to proceed? Well, if I can't hear from God, then I guess I better just make something happen and do what I can or whatever, just wing it. Or do we say like them, where can I go? Nowhere else is acceptable. No other response, no other answer from anyone else is acceptable or is going to make it what I need. But God, I have to hear from God to proceed. I have to hear from God to be successful. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to inquire of God. And I'm going to continue to present my request to Him. I'm going to continue to have my ears open to Him. I'm going to ask Him to touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my ears. Lord, help me to have ears to hear Your Word. Help me to have ears to hear Your voice when You speak. Give me the ability within my heart to follow through with what You've told me to do, even if it doesn't make any sense to me. Help me to walk in that thing that You've given unto me, that I might have success in my life. I know, and I was talking to the young people about this recently, that I'm in very much need of God and His direction for my life. Because I know there's no other option for me. I've done the other options. I've made my own decisions. I've done my own thing. I've done what I thought was right. A man's ways are right in his own eyes. And I've done all that. And I know that there's not success in that. You may have minimal successes here and there from doing things your own way. But the ultimate success in your life is not going to be there. And so it's a desperation for me to hear from God. Because I have to know. I have to know that I'm in His will. I have to know that the steps that I take are in line with Him. And that He's backing me. And I know that if I have the support of the Lord and His backing, and He's like, yes, I'm going to bless this. Yes, this is where I want you. Yes, this is the path set before you. That I gain confidence. And it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I know I'm in the will of God, and I know I'm safe in the will of God. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. What better place to be? I know that's where my success is. And so I'm like the disciples, where can I go? You have the words of eternal life. Or you have the words that's going to speak life into whatever it is my situation is. No matter what my circumstance might be, you're going to speak life to it. And I'm willing to wait and hear from you before I respond, before I act. Because I need to know God's will. That's having God's voice be precious. That's having God's word be precious and valuable in our lives. That we depend on it for our life. Not just eternal life, but our physical lives. And that's what I want to do. God's word is not an option. It is the only option. I don't want to get in my head that there's other things that I could do that are maybe okay. Maybe God doesn't really care. You know what? I think God cares. If He cares enough to count the hairs on my head to know how many there are, then I think some of these things that I believe are insignificant are very significant to Him. And I'm going to wait for Him to talk to me about them too. Because I think it's valuable to be in the will of the Lord. Nothing more valuable than to be in His will and following after His path. I want to be in the will of God in my life, no matter what. And so I hope to wait on His word and the responses that I need to go forward. And I trust that He's going to hear me and He's going to answer me and He's going to do it in a right time, in a perfect time. And when I follow through and walk in obedience to His voice, He's going to bless me and give me success. And that's where I want to be in all of the decisions of life that I make. So I ask for your prayers. That's how I want to be. I want to be in the will of God no matter what. Because His voice is valuable to me, precious to me. There's nowhere else I can go but to God. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.